Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we continue reading from chapter 15 of first canto Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Pandavas Retire Timely. It's a very beautiful section of the Bhagavatam. Yesterday we heard from His Grace Krishna Kshetra Prabhu about Sri Arjuna's separation from Krishna and how he mitigated his separation by remembering Krishna's instructions. He felt solace in this way. Today we will be hearing how the Pandavas retired, particularly headed by Maharaj Yudhishthira, the emperor. And they retire, they decide to go back to Godhead. Krishna has gone to his own abode. They see the symptoms of the age of Kali, and they see everything so empty without Krishna's personal presence after having experienced it, that they decide to go back to Godhead. And this is a very important chapter for us because we are meant to go back to Godhead also. Of course, it is our choice. Nobody will force us. But we are meant to go back to Godhead so we can follow into the footsteps of the Pandavas by meditating on their feats. They are not just their feats in this world, but especially their final lesson. When after successfully ruling the world for many years, they were able to renounce the world and focus completely on the lotus feet of the Lord. Before they were focused in a practical way, now they were focused in an undivided way, not distracted by things of this world. So before we sing the verse written in the whiteboard, text 32, and then we will read through the rest of the chapter up to text 51, but I like it to read the last verse, 51, the translation, so that it helps us to focus, because this is the Shruti Pala. Shruti Pala is the fruit of properly listening to a particular section of Shastra, of Shruti. So the result of listening to this chapter is as follows. In this way, despite whatever shortcomings the speaker has, despite that, you may be able to focus because, okay, I want to get the blessing of going back to Godhead. This is Sutta Goswami speaking. The subject of the departure of the sons of Pandu for the ultimate goal of life, back to Godhead, is fully auspicious and is perfectly pure. Therefore, anyone who hears this narration with devotional faith certainly gains devotional service of the Lord, the highest perfection of life. So if we hear to this narration with devotional faith, we should put faith, attention, put heart into it. Then we can attain devotion to the Lord, which is the highest perfection of life. And this will bring us back home, back to Godhead. Text 32. Nishamya Bhagavan Margam. Samstam Yadukulasya Cha. Svapataya Matim Chakre. Nivritatma Yudhishthiraha. Nishamya Bhagavan Margam. Samstam Yadukulasya Cha. Svapataya Matim Chakre. Nivritatma Yudhishthiraha. Nishamya Bhagavan Margam Samstanyadu Kulasya Cha Svapataya Matim Chakre Nivritatma Yudhishthira. Vaishnavis. Nishamya Bhagavan Margam Samstanyadu Kulasya Cha Svapataya Matim Chakre Nivritatma Yudhishthira. Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. Upon hearing of Lord Krishna's returning to his abode and upon understanding the end of the Yadu dynasty's earthly manifestations, Maharaj Yudhishthira decided to go back home, back to Godhead. Purport. Maharaj Yudhishthira also turned his attention to the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita after hearing about the Lord's departure from the vision of earthly people. He began to deliberate on the Lord's way of appearance and departure. The mission of the Lord's appearance and disappearance in the mortal universe is completely dependent on His supreme will. He is not forced to appear or disappear by any superior energy. As the living beings appear and disappear, being forced by the laws of nature. Whenever the Lord likes, He can appear Himself from anywhere and everywhere without disturbing His appearance and disappearance in any other place. He is like the sun. The sun appears and disappears on its own accord at any place without disturbing its presence in other places. The sun appears in the morning in India without disappearing from the western hemisphere. The sun is present everywhere and anywhere all over the solar system but it so appears that he is particular, sorry, but that in a particular place the sun appears in the morning and also disappears at some fixed time in the evening. The time limitation, even of the sun, is of no concern. And so what to speak of the Supreme Lord, who is the creator and controller of the sun? Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita it is stated that anyone who factually understands the transcendental appearance and disappearance of the Lord by his inconceivable energy becomes liberated from the laws of birth and death and is placed in the eternal spiritual sky where the Vaikuntha planets are. There, such liberated persons can eternally live without the pangs of birth, death, old age and disease. In the spiritual sky, the Lord and those who are eternally engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord are all eternally young because there is no old age and disease, and there is no death. Because there is no death, there is no birth. It is concluded, therefore, that simply by understanding the Lord's appearance and disappearance in truth, one can attain the perfectional stage of eternal life. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhishthira also began to consider going back to Godhead. The Lord appears on the earth or any other mortal planet along with his associates who live with him eternally, and the members of the Yadu family who were engaged in supplementing the pastimes of the Lord are no other than his eternal associates, and so also Maharaj Yudhishthira and his brothers and mother, etc. Since the appearance and disappearance of the Lord are his eternal associates, and his eternal associates are transcendental, one should not be bewildered by the external features of appearance and disappearance. Text 33. Kunti, after overhearing Arjuna's telling of the end of the Yadu dynasty and disappearance of Lord Krishna, engaged in the devotional service of the transcendental personality of Godhead. With full attention and thus gained, released from the course of material existence. Purport. The setting of the sun does not mean the end of the sun. It means that the sun is out of our sight. Similarly, the end of the mission of the Lord on a particular planet or universe only means that he is out of our sight. The end of the Yadu dynasty also does not mean that it is annihilated. It disappears along with the Lord, out of our sight. As Maharaj Yudhishthira decided to prepare to go back to Godhead, so also Kunti decided, and thus she fully engaged herself in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord, which guarantees one passport for going back to Godhead. After quitting this present material body, the beginning of devotional service of the Lord is the beginning of spiritualizing the present body, and thus An unalloyed devotee of the Lord loses all material contact in the present body. The abode of the Lord is not a myth, as is thought by the unbelievers or ignorant people, but one cannot reach there by any material means, like a Sputnik or a space capsule. But one can certainly reach there after leaving this present body. And one must prepare himself to go back to Godhead by practicing devotional service. That guarantees a passport for going back to Godhead. And Kunti adopted it. So do we have our passport for going back to Godhead? Do you have yours? That will be a question to ask. Are we ready for going back to Godhead? We are chanting Hare Krishna. We are living in the association of devotees. But if death hits us today or tomorrow, are we ready? What do you think? What will you say?
I hope so.
I hope so, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's good. Hope, at least, Srila Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion, hope against hope. So we should hope, at least we should hope to go back to Godhead. What else?
I think I'm in the queue for the passport, but it's a long queue.
You are in the queue. Okay. It's a long queue, but can you go in front of the queue some way? Can you do something? Or are we forced to wait? Do we have to wait?
We should preach and sing Harinam
Sankirtan. We should?
Sing Harinam Sankirtan and preach. And then you can go to the queue.
Okay, by preaching we go ahead of the queue. We will get some a favor. Like, for example, in South India, I have not been there, but devotees tell that there are these big, very long queues, and if you pay something extra or you have some connections, they make you go in front. So there is a scope to go in front of the queue if we preach the Sankirtan movement. Good point. We want, but we are not qualified. What makes us disqualified?
Not wanting it. The only qualification is wanting
it. Yeah, good. The only qualification is wanting it. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, in chapter 12, Mayeva mana adatva mayi buddhim niveshaya nivasi shyasi mayeva ata urdvam nasamshayaha. That just fix your mind upon me, engage your intelligence on me, in this way you will live always with me without any doubt. It is not a question of going back to Godhead, but it is a question of living with Godhead, living with Krishna. So we can live with Krishna, we're actually living with Krishna, but many times we forget we are living with Krishna. And hence, we seem not to be living with Krishna. Or we could say, and hence, we are not living with Krishna. But how we can be not living with Krishna when Krishna is everywhere? Krishna is within our heart. Krishna is in the temple. Krishna is his holy name. Krishna is the food we eat. We eat prasadam. He's present in every aspect of the creation we experience. Krishna is present. But we forget him. What prevents us from living with Krishna is that we forget him. And therefore, we miss him. We may miss him generally in the conditioned state. We miss him due to ignorance. That's the conditioned state. Arjuna, yesterday we were listening, he was missing Krishna in transcendental separation. And that's very different. Transcendental separation is very enlivening, very uplifting, and brings the devotee closer to Krishna. Krishna hides from the devotee to attract the attention of the devotee or to increase the devotion of the devotee, to fan the fire of love within the heart of the devotee. But in the material separation, we forget Krishna and then we suffer miserably. This is the big difference. So basically, we choose to be separated from Krishna. Then in the next verse of chapter 12 of the Gita, I quoted in chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, Krishna says, Atachitam samadhatum nashaknoshi mayistiram abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptum dhananjaya. If you are not able to do this, if you are not able to engage your mind and your intelligence fully on me, then abhyasa yogena tato, practice the process of bhakti, the process of devotion. In this way you will live with, in this way you will increase your desire to be with me. Mami chaptum dhananjaya. So it is because we do not desire sufficiently, we do not have clear intention to go back to Krishna. Therefore we are still here. We want, ultimately we are deciding to be here in the material world. Krishna is giving us the choice. Only in the case of the eternal associates of the Lord, like the Pandavas, now we are reading about their relationship, intimate relationship with Krishna, they are such a level of eternal associates of the Lord that they returned back to Godhead, Srila Prabhupada writes, with their very same bodies. We will read this. It's a very puzzling verse, very difficult to understand. How is that possible that they went back to Godhead with their very same bodies? But this is what Srila Prabhupada and Srila Jiva Goswami comment, that indeed this is what happened. So in the case of the eternal associates of the Lord, they come to assist the Lord in his pastimes. In our case, we are here, unless, of course, we don't know. Someone can be an eternal associate of the Lord, and in that capacity of Arjuna. But we are here because we want to be here. We're still attached to the three modes of material nature. And therefore, generally, we tend to, we want Krishna, but we want to enjoy our service to Krishna. We want to take a prominent position instead of offering in a selfless attitude everything to Krishna. We want to enjoy one share of the service or the whole share of the service, depending on our level of conditioning. And until we surrender everything, we are meant to come back to continue purifying ourselves. And therefore in the scriptures we read many lifetimes of devotional service. Because we need to become ready to go back to Godhead. We need to develop, to practice sufficient to decide to go back to Godhead. Shri Shri Radha Gopinatha Ki Jai. But Srila Prabhupada explains in different parts of his books that, that actually it's not a matter of time. At the end of chapter 2 of the Gita, Srila Prabhupada says, it can take 1 second, or can take many, many, many lifetimes. So there seems to be the ultimate decision is, in one sense, up to us. I say in one sense because we do need the mercy of the Lord. But we need to give our share. Unless we decide, unless we take a step towards Krishna, Krishna will not take his steps towards us. Or he may take, but he's waiting. I'm here. Please look at me. But we are looking elsewhere. We are looking to so many places in the material world, trying to exploit the resources of Maya. So the principle of clear intention is described here, and how to get a passport for going back home, back to Godhead, by engaging, Prabhupada says, fully engaging ourselves in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord, fully engaging ourselves. Text 34, the Supreme Unborn Lord, Sri Krishna, caused the members of the Yadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies, and thus he relieved the burden of the world. This action was like picking out a thorn with a thorn, though both are the same to the controller. The Supreme Lord relinquished the body which he manifested to diminish the burden of the earth. Just like a magician, he relinquishes one body to accept different ones, like the fish incarnations, etc. When the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, left this earthly planet in his self-same form, from that very day, Kali, who had appeared partially before, became fully manifest to create inauspicious conditions for those who are endowed with a poor fund of knowledge. In what way had Kali appeared partially before? Oh, I thought you were raising the hand, that there is Prabhu, no?
What, the curse of Shingi?
That happened actually after Krishna's disappearance. So in what way Krishna had appeared before? Sometimes we hear that Duryodhana was a partial incarnation of Kali. So this will be an explanation. I didn't read any other. We could say it was coming close. So in that sense, it's like the winter is not yet there, but it's coming close. Sometimes in the autumn, we already experience the winter in some way. So we could say that partially the next season is being experienced. But Duryodhana, he had created the mentality of Kali, so much so that even great souls were influenced and were fighting at his camp. Of course, there was a higher plan by the Lord, but it happened that Bhishmadev and other great souls were present at the side of Duryodhana. Even a Mahajana was influenced due to the association of such personality. What to speak of us, how much more we may be influenced by the happenings in the age of Kali. We can be very easily influenced. And therefore, we should be very careful in our performance of devotional service. Before moving to the next section, when it is described that Maharaj Yudhishthira abandons his throne and all the symbols of royalty in order to surrender fully to Krishna. Although he was already surrendered, but still he took a step further, renouncing all the comforts of the world, renouncing all the power he had, in order to prepare himself in a very short time to go back home, back to Godhead. And this is a teaching Srila Prabhupada writes in the purpose for us, especially for those of us who are becoming elder in age. Prabhupada writes, when we are after 15 or 20 years before dying, and we can make the calculation, the numbers. Of course, we don't know when we are going to die, but we can do an estimate based on statistics. So we should get ready, we should prepare ourselves, and later on we will have a discussion on that. But before going into it, some points on the Yadu dynasty. The disappearance of the Yadus is mentioned here. And as I think most of you know, it was a very dramatic end. Krishna's family, the family of God, how did they finish? It was a very extreme way of finishing, isn't it? Fighting with one another. Fighting with one another. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, no wonder that Srila Prabhupada gave the instruction, one of his last instructions was, you will show your love for me in how much you cooperate to maintain this movement. Because the tendency is when God or his representative leaves the planet, the followers start to fight. And this is especially true in the age of Kali. In the age of Kali particularly, that's a symptom. So how to understand, how is it possible that the family of God left in such an extreme way? So much bloodshed. Somebody could challenge, you people, you are talking of peace, but even the family of your God died in war. What will you reply to that? So it was by Krishna's will. Okay, that's a point. But still, how come that it finishes? It couldn't have finished in a more romantic way. Yesterday we were hearing about romanticism. Is it required that finishes in such a ghastly manner? It's a play, but I mean, what a play. If we start fighting and it's okay, it's like a drama, correct? But why such a drama? Why such an end? Normally the films, I don't know nowadays, I'm not in touch with what's going on. We may have to ask some of the students who may not be here today. But, or maybe some of you are here, you watch some films also. I don't know how the films end, but maybe nowadays have changed. But usually it's the happy end. Don't we like the films with a happy end? That's what we expect. Mark?
The question about why it all ended in a fight within the family. You believe it happens, it's due to us not remembering God. And that's the reason. It goes to show that that's what Srila Prabhupada asked us. Prabhupada, if we're going to remember Krishna, that will ensure that we can live in peace.
Yes, but how could they forget Krishna? They are family members, Krishna's family members, so close. How could they forget Krishna?
We also forget when we are intoxicated. They drank.
Okay, so they were intoxicated and therefore they forgot. Okay. It's a rasa also, good.
I mean, the Prabhupada also explains that they killed each other because there was no other way they could die, that no one else could kill them, and there was just simply no other way for them to disappear. But ghastliness is also rasa.
Good. Good point.
The infamous intoxication is also a very interesting incident that shows us what's the result.
Okay, so by their acting, they are teaching us that even if you belong to the family of God, even if you think rightly or in what they call the psychologists, delirium, I know in Spanish, delirium messianico, messiah delirium, this is a pathology. Even if we have the messiah delirium, we think we are the savior of the world, but if we become intoxicated, if we forget God, then we will end in a bad way. But there is one more point in that regard, which Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments in the section of the 11th canto, where this episode is described in more detail. Good point. So that shows the harmful effects of intoxication. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, no intoxication. And so, because we cannot see properly, and we will commit violence even against those who are dear to us. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna ended his family, the Yadu dynasty, in this way in order to teach us detachment. That's the meaning, the deeper meaning of why it ended in such a ghastly rasa, such a terrible end, because he wanted to teach us detachment. So if Krishna's family ended in this way, then anything can happen to anyone. So we should be aware of that. Anything can happen to anyone. Because we are not talking about just common people. We are talking about personal associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Dwarka. So they are very, very, very intimate personalities. And yet they ended in such a dramatic way. And then he uses, I have read two examples, I'll tell the one I'm more familiar. One I have read in Burijan Prabhu's Unveiling His Lotus Feet, comes from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. And also I have read in the 11th canto, in the past I didn't go back and check it out, but it's the story of the family of magicians. Some of you may have heard, because here the example is given that Krishna is like an actor, like a magician. A magician, a good magician, can do anything. Can make things appear and disappear, can make people see things that are not really happening. Like we were hearing from Mother Urmila the other day, how the soaking of the forest fire took place in a way that suddenly when the Gokhar boys opened their eyes, they were back in Bandiravan. So it's like a dream. Krishna can do anything. He has transcendental mystic power. Yoga means the power of unity in love, but also yoga means magic. He's a magician. He can do anything. So what happened is that there was once a family of magicians who were invited to perform in a particular kingdom in India. And they did a wonderful performance to the point that the whole the king and his whole entourage were very, very pleased. And the queen gave a jewel, a personal, very valuable jewel to the wife. The family was father, mother, son and daughter. They were working as a team. They were working as a team, but due to the influence of this world, of Kali, they started to fight. So when the wife got the jewel, the husband wanted to take it from her, because he said, I'm in charge of the family. Here, I don't know in English how you express it. In Spanish, we will say, I'm wearing the trousers. Do you use that expression in English? I'm wearing the trousers. So I'm in charge of the family, give me the jewel. And she said, no, she gave it to me. It's from woman to woman. So they started to fight. But everything happened so quickly. The father took a sword and killed the wife there in front of everybody. Then the daughter, not, was the daughter or the son, one of the two, took another weapon and killed the father. You killed my mother, you... Then the sister or the son, whoever was left, killed the other person left, the sister or the brother, depending on the case, and kill himself. So, what a ghastly end. Can you imagine what a show, what everything had been so pleasing, but it ended in this way. Everybody, you can imagine, was shocked, in trauma. The party didn't end in celebration, end with mourning. So after 1 month or so, the king received a letter from the family, and they said, Your Majesty, we were very honored to perform at your court, and we want just to inform you that we are happily living in our place in South India. And we want to apologize if we created some intense feelings in you and your ministers and your family members, because it was just the end of the show. So, thank you very much for giving us the jewel at the end. We are very honored, and just be peaceful that we are okay. And if you like to invite us, we will be happy to come back. So the king sent somebody to check it out, and it was true. They were happily living. So this is the example given by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur to illustrate that the end of Krishna's family in this dramatic way was just a drama performance. And was Krishna had a purpose, and the purpose was to teach us detachment from material existence. So even if everything falls apart, we should be okay serving the Lord. Touch wood. But this is, I say touch wood because it may happen. It's very easy to speak it. But if it happens, then then we have to take real shelter of Krishna. Let's read the next verses so we finish the chapter. Maharaj Yudhishthira was intelligent enough to understand the influence of the age of Kali, characterized by increasing avarice, falsehood, cheating, and violence throughout the capital, state and home, and among individuals. So he wisely prepared himself to leave home, and he dressed accordingly. Thereafter, in the capital of Hastinapur, he enthroned his grandson, who was trained and equally qualified as the emperor and master of all land bordered by the seas. Who was the grandson? Parikshit Maharaj. And Prabhupada here in the purport says, let me see. No, it's not this purport. I think it's the next one. 39. Then he posted Vajra, the son of Aniruddha, grandson of Lord Krishna. So it was Krishna's great-grandson, at Mathura, as the king of Shurasena. Afterwards, Maharaj Yudhishthira performed a Prajapati sacrifice and placed in himself the fire for quitting household life. And do you remember anything about Vajra? Vajranath. What did he do? He installed many Krishna deities. And we can now see these deities in Vrindavan. In Mathura and Vrindavan, he installed so many Krishna deities. Haridev in Govardhan was installed by him, if I remember correctly. Then the deity of Madhavendra Puri, Gopal, which later on was taken to Rajasthan, Srinathji, was installed by Vajranath, a deity in Mathura, and a few other deities we take darshan from in Vrindavan and Mathura. We owe it to Vajranath, Krishna's great grandson. And this is the part of the purport I wanted to read. It's about preparing at the end. Everyone's life must be so arranged that the last stage of life, say at least the last 15 to 20 years prior to death, can be absolutely devoted to devotional service of the Lord to attain the highest perfection of life. It is really foolishness to engage oneself all the days of one's life in material enjoyment and fruitive activities, because as long as the mind remains absorbed in fruitive work for material enjoyment, there is no chance of getting out from conditioned life or material bondage. No one should follow the suicidal policy of neglecting one's supreme task of attaining the highest perfection of life, namely going back home, back to Godhead. So we need to take to get prepared. And particularly the last 15 to 20 years, We need to invest especially in preparing ourselves. And therefore, Prabhupada says in this very same purport a bit earlier, if I find it. Maybe I'm mixing purports from chapter 12. But there is one section where Prabhupada says that as soon as there is one young fellow who's ready to take responsibility, one should hand over. Of course, should be done in a responsible way. Should be done. And if the person is too young, sometimes the person is not ready nowadays, so it should be someone sufficiently mature. Sometimes it's not easy to find succession, but this is the idea, to train the youth and to hand over to the youth the power to make decisions and to take responsibility in our projects. Of course, now the question could be raised, and here I'm raising it to you, although it's time to end, so we cannot go very deep into it. But you can reflect on that. Srila Prabhupada, we find in Srila Prabhupada's instructions two approaches. One approach was that he wanted to retire and only translate books and don't do any management, even if it was for Krishna. On the other hand, he remained involved in the practical aspects of the movement practically until the end, or almost the end. So how do we reconcile these two? Which one should we choose? Very good. Very good point. So he wanted to, if his disciples had been ready, he would have hand over more than he did. Good, very good. So that synthesizes actually the whole question.
So then we know what to do.
We know?
We have to make sure succession is taken care of, that everybody is prepared.
So we need to plan our own succession. We need to train sufficient people so that they can take over without creating a turmoil when there is a change. Of course, when a very successful leader is there, it's very difficult to find a replacement because people have the expectations on the good job of that leader. So they don't want anybody else to take the place. But the law of nature is that all of us have to move on. So we also, as followers, need to be sufficiently detached to support a healthy transition and to give the dedicated leader the space he or she needs, to move on in life. To focus more on activities more directly related to bhajan, hearing, chanting, speaking about Krishna, and not dealing so much with the nitty-gritty or the hard aspects of material nature. Okay, it's time to stop. This section is very interesting. I think I will ask, next Wednesday, Krishna Kshetra Prabhu will be speaking. I think I'll ask him to speak on the rest of the chapter. I think we can make it. Normally, I will have covered the whole section, but there is no time to do justice to the section. So he will speak on the rest of the chapter. And then on Thursday, the class will focus on chapter 16. Next week, next week. So if you like to do the reading, read the rest of the chapter and chapter 16. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.